Well, as you can see, what bird we're looking at tonight, I mentioned it. I think I mentioned to somebody that I was doing a PowerPoint, but with this cold, I haven't felt like looking at a projector, a computer screen today to do that, so apologies. Can we turn to Exodus chapter 19? Exodus 19, verse 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, the same day they came unto the wilderness of Sinai. For they had departed from Rephidim, and were come to the desert of Sinai, and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. And Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, Thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, and tell the children of Israel, You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed, and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. The first thing we think about the eagle is a stately bird. In Lamentations chapter 4, verse 19, it is called the eagles of the heavens. And it's a lovely sight to see eagles soaring up above you. I've only seen them once, and that was in the Lake District. Been up to Scotland looking for them and didn't find any up there. And coming back home, I found them when they were breeding in the Lake District. But it's a beautiful sight. But we see the buzzard, don't we, soaring, and that's our sort of nearest thing we get to the eagle, and we can just watch them soaring around. But the first time we come across the eagle in the Bible, although it's such a stately and majestic bird, it's a bird seriously spoken of. In that list in Leviticus chapter 11, in verse 13, These you shall regard as an abomination among the birds. They shall not be eaten. They are an abomination. The eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, unclean because of its family and because of what it feeds upon. A bird seriously spoken of. We, mankind, in God's eyes, are seriously spoken of, aren't we? Psalm 7, verse 11, God is angry with the wicked every day. Revelation 21, 8, And idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there are many verses that condemn us in the Bible. We, mankind, are seriously spoken of. And with God saying such things against us, what hope was there for man? There was no hope. But God worked for us and gave us a wonderful hope, hasn't he? And then we need to think of how we need to be supernaturally saved. God's people were supernaturally saved, weren't they? Exodus 19, verse 4. You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and the Lord dealt with them. The whole army were drowned in the Red Sea, and shown marvelous things to Pharaoh. You have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings, and brought you to myself. This is what God says of his people. And it was a wonderful way God brought them to himself and then led them through the wilderness. He called them his own special people, didn't he? And we know God has done a miracle in our lives. He has brought us to himself. Yea, borne us on eagle's wings. It was miraculous, all different ways. But he's brought us to that Saviour, hasn't he? And God's power is truly involved in every conversion. And I must always give thanks for the grace and the power of God worked in my life when he bore me on eagle's wings and brought me to himself. And now we're always his, aren't we? And the next thing I want us to think of is a general title for lots of little subtitles, and the eagle's spectacular abilities. And can we turn to Job chapter 39 here? Job chapter 39, and I want us to think of the eagle's spectacular abilities. Verse 27. Does the eagle mount up at your command and make her nest on high? She dwells and abides on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. From there she seeks her prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there she is. A bird of spectacular abilities. And when I am supernaturally saved by God, we become someone who has spectacular abilities. Our song put it, I am a living, walking miracle. And that is what every human being is. I know we might not feel like it at times, we let the Lord down, but we are all living, walking miracles. The eagle is a bird of the open spaces, and we think of its life of freedom. It flies high over the hills, and in just minutes it can be miles and miles away, can it? Deuteronomy 32, verse 13. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. We were once so bound by sin, weren't we? Hemmed in by it. Described as like in a hole with steep, slippery sides, and we couldn't get out. Yea, for some of us it was claustrophobic in our life of sin. But John 8:36 reminds us, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free. Indeed, we think of the eagle in its soaring around and its freedom. We've got that freedom in Christ. Freedom from trying to obey the law. Freedom from trying to earn our own salvation. We're free in him. And we know that wonderful freedom the Holy Spirit brings into our life. Next, the eagle has a safe stronghold. It is high and in a safe place, we read. Job 39:27. Does the eagle mount up at your command and make her nest on high? She dwells and abides on the rock, upon the crag of the rock and the strong place. The eagle dwells on the rock. And we now dwell upon our rock, the Lord Jesus. That lovely Psalm 62:7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. He's that high tower to where I can run when I am in so much need. I can run and be safe in him. The eagle has a strong, safe stronghold. The eagle has amazing sight. Job 39:29. From there, high up on that rock, she seeks the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. Now, looking at some of the qualities of what the eagle could do, it was quite enlightening to read that an eagle can read. Because one of the things that was telling me of the good sight of the eagle, it said this: the eagle could read 3-inch letters on a notice 1 mile away. There, they don't even need glasses to do it, do they? But I thought it's just comparing the size of what an eagle can see. And the sea eagle can see fish jumping out of the water from 5 miles away. Now that's pretty good sight, isn't it? We got a job to see a human being a mile away. I suppose it was a clear day when the eagle would see the fish jumping. And when we become a Christian, we receive good sight. Not physical sight. Sometimes our sight gets worse as we become Christians. I know people who have witnessed and their eyes have been knocked out. But spiritual sight. We see through the eye of faith, don't we? Now we're the Lord's. That nice verse in John 9. I was blind, but now I see. What do we see? We see what Christ has done for us. Hebrews 2:9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for every man. We see his care for us. We see his working for us in heaven. We see his going to come again for us. And we believe soon. And we see our being with him one day in heaven forever and forever. We see these things. We believe them. The eagle has great strength. It carries its prey right up to its eyrie on high, on the mountains. An eagle weighing just 20 pounds has enough strength in its talons to break a man's forearm. Isaiah 40. Some of you might have been wondering when I was going to get onto this one. Isaiah 40:29. He gives power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. What strength does God give us? You might be saying, I feel pretty tired at the moment. And if any of you have had the virus problem, you feel tired for a long time after that. And we look at that sort of strength, don't we, when we think of it. But what sort of strength does God give us? The strength to live a changed life. The drunkard becomes sober. The liar becomes truthful. The thief can be trusted. The adulterer can become a faithful partner. Strength to overcome the devil's temptations. He gives us the strength and the will to serve him here and now. Oh yes, God gives us the strength that we need. And then we think of the supplies for the eagle's strength. They come from its food, our reading in Job said. Verse 30 there of our reading, Job 39. Her young ones suck up blood where the slain are. There she is. And once the eagle gets hold of its prey, whatever it be, lamb or whatever, it really holds on to it dearly. And the eagle's talons are designed to pierce the flesh, but not to tear it. And I understand that the surgical needles are modelled on the eagle's talons that the surgeons use these days. It's amazing how much people are looking at nature and using it in different forms of technology, aren't they? Yes, the eagle will hold on to its food. It's his strength. What about us? We need to make sure we hold on to our supply of food. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abide in the vine, no more can you unless you abide in me, for without me you can do nothing. We must be obedient to God's word. That's our food as well. Psalm 103:5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The word is our food. The Lord Jesus is the bread of life. We need to be feeding on him as well, don't we? And knowing that fellowship with him, that's what strengthens us. That's what keeps us going through our life's journey. And remember, one day we shall be made perfect in heaven, and there we shall never grow weary. We'll have all the food, everything we need for that perfect, holy life there forever. And then the eagle's soaring abilities. Job 39:27. Does the eagle mount up at your command? The eagle can mount up to a great height. Jet pilots have recorded the eagle at heights of over 15,000 feet. Amazing height, isn't it? They even do their courting in the air. They soar up to a vast, vast height, then lock their talons together and mate as they free fall for thousands of feet. I'm glad I'm a human being. Much more pleasant the way our way. How lovely to watch those birds soaring up. I watched buzzards with 10 times power binoculars going up and up and up in a thermal until they're right out of sight and you can't see them anymore, even yet alone the eagle can rise to heights far more than our buzzards. When we pray, we soar to the throne of heaven. Joe has already alluded that in his prayer, and our prayers go right up to heaven, don't they? Yes, we soar in prayer to the throne room of God. Our heart is to be there as well as we live our life. Colossians 3:1. If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ. The Christian has the ability to rise above our circumstances. Isaiah 40:31. But they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. It's a lovely quote. And thinking of how we mount up in a spiritual way. And this would suggest buoyancy of spirit and a joy in the Lord. And there's a lady in France who was just religious, but had really come to know the Lord, born again in an evangelical way. And because of her evangelistic faith, Madame Goyon was kept in a prison. But there in that prison in France, she knew the presence of the Lord. And she once wrote this: "A little bird I am, shut in from fields of air. Yet in my cage I sit and sing to him who put me there. Oh, it is good to soar these bolts and bars above to him whose purpose I adore, whose providence I love, and in his mighty will to find the joy, the freedom of the mind. For bars cannot control the flight, the freedom of the soul. Yes, we soar with a buoyancy above the prison in our Saviour, don't we?" And then we look at the young eagles, safeguarded by a powerful and caring guardian. Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 9. Deuteronomy 32, verse 9. "For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. He found him in a desert land and in a waste, howling wilderness. He led him about. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirs up her nest, flutters over her young, spreads the broader wings, takes them up, bearing them on her wings, so the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange God with them. The Lord has found us in the wilderness. He has saved us so that he might have guardian care over us." Four things God does for us that the eagle does for her young: stirs up our nest, stays over us, spreads out his wings for us, and support and leads us. Number one, stirs up our nest, as the eagle stirs up its nest. The Lord wants us to be progressing. We cannot reach a part in our life where we say, "I'm content here, I've got a good amount of religiousness, I'm happy with my position in the Lord, I don't want to go on, I want to stay where I am." We cannot do that in the Christian life. The Lord is progressing, to be having our faith strengthened and to have our character more like the Lord Jesus, and he's doing things for us, things that are unpleasant sometimes, not because he doesn't love us. He wants us to have the best in this life and the best in eternity. So because of that, sometimes he's got to make things unpleasant for us. As the eagle stirs up its nest, the parent eagle knows when it's time for the eaglet to move on to its next stage in life, flying. The eagle will have other plans. "It's so cozy in the nest, Mum. Look, I can look out and I can see this lovely view, Mum, and I'm happy here, Mum." And I understand a lot of eaglets might think a bit like that, because Mum says, "No, you're not." And Mum starts to take the nest apart and moves the twigs and throws them away. And this is what God does sometimes for us. When it's time to move on to our next development in his plan for our lives, he stops us from being too settled and he starts to take the nest apart. And the eaglet doesn't get the message. The parents start to do even more to get that young one flying. Dare we say to God, "I don't want to get out of the nest. I was happy as a carpenter. I love wood. the smell of it, the feel of it, looking at it, the grain. I can just look at grain and see the beauty in it, like people look at a picture. And God was moving me on, and I wanted to stay as a carpenter. And the Lord had to put me on the face of the cliff at New Milton. I've told you the story before, where I would cry out, "Oh God, save me, all right. I'll even join the open air mission." And as soon as I prayed that, I was able to clamber up that cliff face. And I don't believe I would have been able to clamber up the cliff face until I cried out to God, "I'll do that." Yes, the Lord stirred up my nest. And he does things for all of us to move us on. And I don't know, I might be speaking to someone here and the Lord's trying to move you on to take some step of faith, to do something. If we want that peace, we've got to do it, haven't we? And in the end, in desperation, Mother Eagle will push that fearful little eaglet over the edge of the cliff. "Oh, Mum, I don't like heights. Mum, I'm falling." But Mother Eagle knows what she's doing. And God knows what he's doing in our lives, doesn't he? He won't ask you to move on if he's not going to give you the grace and the strength to enable you to do it. And we need to know our guardian God cares for us. And we read about the eagle, the second thing. She stays over her young, flutters over her young, or hovers over her young. And the eagle is observed to have a strong affection for her young, and to be able to show their young how to do different things. And they can be seen actually showing the young how to peck and how to do this and how to fly. And after that poor little eaglet's been shoved over the cliff face and it's fallen at quite a rate, you know, mother's there and saying, "Stick your wings out and stick your wings out." And the young one is meant to stick his wings out and to learn how to fly. Hovers over its young. God is always seeking to teach us his way. He flutters over us to teach us what he wants us to do. God will never desert us. We are in his care. We are his own special possession. And what else does God do for us? Well, what does that mother eagle do when she realizes that stupid young eaglet isn't sticking his wings out enough and isn't learning to fly? She can drop ever so fast and get underneath it and catch it on the back of her wings and soar up again. Does she say, "Well, that's it, I'm never letting you try to fly again, my dear"? No, no. When she's up high enough, she tips him off her wings, and he's got to learn the lesson again. But she gets there in the end. If we don't get killed on the way, lured it, I suppose. Yes, she spreads out her wings. God does. We read in Deuteronomy 33:27, "The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." He knows when to help. He knows when we're not going to cope, and he's underneath us, bearing us up again. We make many mistakes regarding timing and different things, but God cannot make a mistake. Our loving Savior guardian knows when we need that loving care, that loving cuddle, or our hand held. Over there in Wales, they've got a nice little word. It's a cutch. And it means to give a little cuddle of affection. And it's a nice thought. Psalm 63, verse 7. "Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice." And then, fourthly, in that section, our God supports and leads us. What does the eagle do with her babies? She's carrying them on her wings. And because of her strength, she can carry them for many, many miles if needed. God will support and carry us right to the very end. Isaiah 46:4. Even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made you, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. Yes, God is carrying us right to the very end. And then finally, the speed of the eagle. Job 9:25-26. Now my days are swifter than a runner, like an eagle swooping on its prey. This is a reminder of how time is quickly passing. We need to be serving our God whilst we have opportunity. Time here will soon be gone. Soon the Saviour will come again. Let us be swift to obey the Lord's bidding, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Remember, we shall soon be in heaven, and the opportunities for reward will be gone. And let us remember also how time is running out for those who are not saved. It's been good that we prayed for lost relations, lost loved ones. May we continue till the Lord comes. Yes, we can learn lots from the eagle. Amen. Our Lord, we thank you for our time together, for the teachers we can draw from things and of your creation. We thank you for the eagle, and we do pray, Lord, that we would learn these lessons and realize that time is running out. But Lord, we do pray that you'll help us to be a witness and to do what you want us to do whilst we can. And we thank you, Lord, above all for your care for us, that you're keeping us and bearing us up, and you will do right until you have us one day with yourself there in heaven. Bless us each one, we pray. We give our thanks for our time together. In our Saviour's name, amen.